Hello, everyone, and welcome. What a weekend we're coming off the back of. The European team successfully wrestled back the Ryder Cup that they lost at Whiston Straits 2 years ago. We thought it was never going to happen, but Marco Simone delivered everything that we could have possibly wanted. And joining me, as usual, is Mr. Matt Holbrook. Matt, how the heck are you after what was an amazing weekend?
Europe.
Absolutely. Wow. I mean, where do we
decent,
start?
Decent, wasn't it? It's decent.
Where do we start? I mean, it was literally the stuff dreams are made of, wasn't it? Everything we could have possibly wanted. Everything I thought the Solheim Cup was going to be, a bit of a battering for the US. I was worried, you know, probably about a month ago, I kind of couldn't really pick who was going to win this. But after that first session of foursomes on Friday morning, it was only going one way, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had a lot more faith. A lot sooner. I just think Europe do team stuff better than it's weird because when you think how much team stuff they do in America, even like, you know, college golf is all team based stuff, and then I don't know, for whatever reason I get to the Ryder Cup and it always seems to be reports of fractures in the team and, you know, people falling out of each other, that sort of stuff. And I just don't get it.
Well, like I said, I don't think they play that much match play, do they? It tends to be lots of stroke play, the college golf stuff, apart from the US amateur, doesn't it? Which is
nice. Yeah. But I mean, we don't, you know, it's not like we're doing loads more than them. I think when it comes to it,
county level and like England level, a lot of it's match play, isn't it? And when you play like home internationals, it's all match play. You know, all those guys that have come up through their various European countries' kind of development systems, it is a lot of match play, to be honest. So
yeah, but how many of them are coming up through? I mean, look, you look for the team. Oberg, we're going to call him now. You know, American college. Hovland, American college. Sepp Straker, American college. Luke Donald, American college.
Well, you know, yeah, it's not. Luke Donald has also come up through. To be honest, all of them will have come up through their respective countries before being good enough to go to the US, weren't they? Yeah, but I mean, they've all grown up playing match play. Donald, I mean, spent a lot of his formative years at Woodall Spa in the England setup, and you know, playing. Yeah, I don't know. I just think we play more of it over here, and particularly things like foursomes, which Americans just don't play, do they? But
no. What I'm saying is I'm not convinced it's down to that. I'm convinced that we just do team in golf for whatever reason. They just gel better as a team.
The Europeans are more of a team.
Yeah.
100% they are. And they've just developed this kind of system now where, you know, you can't see that breaking down at all. I know, you know, the last Ryder Cup, we came out of it thinking we're not going to win another Ryder Cup for 20 years.
You came out of it thinking that.
Well, I did, but the reason that, you know, the reason I think we haven't lost this one is because America didn't pick the best 12 players, simple as that. So, that, you know, far from the strength of the team they could have had, and they didn't prepare properly. And
then, yeah, but sometimes it's not about picking the best, you know, I suppose it's like any team, it's not about having the best 12 players, right? You could argue, you know, we sat and argued that, you know, Adrian Meronk could have been in that side ahead of Robert McIntyre, ahead of Ludvig Åberg, ahead of, Shane Lowry, for example. But actually, when push comes to shove, right,
he's... You know what I mean? He's literally... There's one guy we would have slotted in there. There's not really anybody else, I don't think, we would have put in.
Yeah, but... okay. So what I'm saying is that there's... The reasons for him leaving Meronk and picking who he picked was justified, right? Because as a team, you know, everybody contributed along the way.
Yeah, I mean, it was between him and Højgaard, and arguably he didn't really do a hell of a lot. But
you could argue that you know, well, they did all produce at least half a point, which, well, you know, hasn't happened in the past.
I get that. I get that. And, you know, it was picking 12 out of 13 for me, wasn't it? And you know, he's picked 12. I think Meronk would have added more, but still, we've battered them, so who cares? I just think their team is weaker than it should have been. And they're just the preparation. Everyone's gone on about the preparation. I mean, for the fact that most of them haven't played competitively for 5 weeks, none of them played in the French Open, Italian Open, sorry, earlier in the year. None of them went over and played the course. They could have all played at Wentworth and got some kind of competitive golf under their belts. They didn't. Only 9 out of the 12 of them went for their kind of, you know, recce week, if you like, over there. And for various different reasons, just from the outside, they didn't take it quite as seriously as we do. And it's to their detriment, really, because, you know, maybe it's arrogance on their side that they thought they were just going to wander in and destroy us like they did 2 years ago. But, you know, unfortunately, they met a side that was prepared within an inch of their lives, really. All playing good golf, all paired together at Wentworth, all playing decent. All of them played the course before and competed on it before, and that showed massively.
Absolutely. And I think also we reference, you know, what happened 2 years ago at Whistling Straits, and actually that was a transition, right? For me, that was a team that, you know, was absolutely going to be completely different to the one that we saw. You know, and there still will be changes, and I know it's been touched upon in 2 years' time. You know, there's going to be more changes, but I just think, you know, Europe had to move away from the Poulters, the Westwoods, the Garcias, and make that transition quick. You know, there's depth as well in European Tour. You know, there's going to be, you know, I put it on my social media yesterday. You know, Ludvig Åberg, you know, he turned professional in June, do you know what I mean? And October the 1st, he's lifting the Ryder Cup. You know, that can happen to anyone in the next 2 years as well. So, yeah, look, I was really pleased. I thought, you know, everybody come together pretty well. I thought the course was good, set up really well. I loved the fact that there was a lot of risk and reward holes. You know, the drivable par fours, I think, are a great addition for this kind of event. And, yeah, ultimately, I think just, you know, everything Luke Donald did seemed to pay off, and I just felt like every decision Zach Johnson made almost felt like the wrong decision.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it seemed that way. I mean, nothing went right for them, did it really? I mean, you know, we go back to that first day where, you know, the morning session, we've just blitzed them, and then the afternoon we played really nicely. The following morning, the same pairs went out and did great, and particularly that absolute, you know, demolition job that we did on Scheffler and Brooks Koepka, I think, mm-hmm. just kind of rubber stamped it, really. I mean, yeah, they came back a bit in the afternoon. They had that little bit of a flurry at the end with Cantlay holding that putt and all the furore that went on the green with Joe LaCava being a complete pillock and Rory rightly not being very happy about it. But I think, if anything, that kind of galvanised the Europeans again. It kind of gave them another focus and kind of gave them a bit of a shake and said, this isn't done yet. You know, you've got 12 singles to come back for tomorrow. Get your head on and come back and smash them. And that's exactly what they did. I mean, there was a point yesterday afternoon where it was looking pretty touch and go, because there was lots of matches that were, there was only one hole in them and it could have gone either way. And we know what the finish is like around that golf course after watching it for the 3 days. And literally you could be two up with three to play and lose around there because of the, you know, that 16th that's drivable, the 17th par three and the 18th that, you know, if you don't get up in two, you're probably going to lose the hole. So it's just such a, it's a perfect match play course, really, wasn't it? And a perfect course for some, you know, matches to kind of get back all square or maybe nick a hole towards the end. And we certainly saw that not the majority, but quite a lot of matches that went the distance, really.
Yeah, well, you think of the, I mean, in particular, I felt yesterday, you know, how much drama kind of 16, 17, 18 produced for us, you know, with Rahm and Scheffler, with Homer taking the unplayable drop. I mean, even Homer on 16, you know, when Matt Fitzpatrick hit it in the water, for Homer to then stand up and do exactly the same was just, you know, absolutely bonkers decision, really.
Yeah.
You know, we see, you know, was it Fleetwood chipping for eagle on 16? Was it 16 he did that? Yeah, I think it was. And yeah, it's just, you know, it's yeah, what a cracking finish. Cracking finish. And that pin on 17 yesterday, right next to the ridge. Again, you know, like Shane Lowry hits that left and goes down the bank, and you think, right, Jordan Spieth, all we've got to do is hit the green. Yeah. And he follows him down there, and it's just like the drama that the course contributed to, I thought was just, you know, was absolutely brilliant. Really, really was.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree. I watched lots of it, and I watched you know, most of the sessions, most days. I watched all the singles, and it was great. It was absolutely awesome, and just great to see all the fans enjoying it as well. And it the atmosphere just looked amazing. And knew some people that were there that sent me some pictures, and it just looked quality. And I think the weather was great. It was obviously in a great location. It's just perfect. Like, everything about the golf course is made for holding a Ryder Cup, really, and it didn't disappoint. And I'm sure it won't be long before it's back in Italy again, because it was, and it may even be there. You know, it's one of those. It's just an ideal golf course for this type of format, really. And you know, whilst we're going to be over at Bethpage Black next time, which is going to be a completely different kettle of fish, a very, very tough golf course, which might even suit us. You know, it's going to be one that you get beaten up around there if you hit it wayward, and that's kind of what Marco Simone did to the players as well. You had to hit fairways in order to go at pins, and we did that better than them for the first 2 days, you know, particularly. But yeah, I mean, it's a tournament that just always throws up some drama. We saw that on Friday night before the singles, and like I say, I think if anything, rather than it was just a last ditch attempt from them to try and get under our skin to give them a chance on Sunday. And you know, who's to say we wouldn't have done something similar to try and, you know, rebalance the scales if it was us that were in that position where we were getting absolutely humped. But yeah, I'd like to think we've got a bit more class than what they.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
They showed, but yeah, I just think it shows really how passionate we are about the tournament. It shows how much we wanted to win it, and you know, we did. We went out, and the big guys kind of did what they're supposed to do, really, on the Sunday, didn't they? And played well in their matches. Rahm, what a match that was with Scheffler that he had, and to get
the standard of golf in that match, by the way, was just incredible.
It was just so good, wasn't it? And anyone who thinks Scottie Scheffler's not very good at putting, watch that match back, because he is awesome. Yeah, and Rahm was just great. All week, wasn't he, to be honest? Rory, you know, delivers his point again. Absolutely fantastic golf that he played. It was just great, really. I mean, from start to finish, Hovland was amazing. Hatton was amazing. Rahm was amazing. Fleetwood was amazing. Rose tried his best. I mean, he literally couldn't have done any more to try and get something out of that match with Cantlay yesterday. McIntyre kind of came through against the self-confessed best player in the world in Wyndham Clark. But, yeah, you know, a lot of people before this were kind of, and myself included, I wasn't that confident about Bobby McIntyre. But, you know, he looked very nervous. That first match he played on the Friday afternoon, Justin Rose really helped him. Second match, he kind of grew into it. And the singles yesterday, he was great, absolutely brilliant. It's an amazing kind of experience for him. And, you know, who's to say he's not going to be right up there in the team in 2 years' time?
Well, this is where I think Luke Donald gets a massive pat on the back, right? Because, you know, and as a team, I'm sure they've all had been a part of that. But some of the pairings really were a stroke of genius. Like you say, you know, he didn't do that great the first day, McIntyre. But, you know, having Justin Rose next to him definitely would have helped. The same, I think, with Lowry and Straka. They seemed to gel really well on the first day as well. And yeah, I just felt like that, you know, Luke Donald and the team, they got the pairings, they got the picks right. Like you say, I mean, it's easy to sit here and point at, you know, Rory, for example. You know, I think he's led by example, but you know, I thought Hovland was just outstanding for 3 days. You know, I'm a big Tyrrell Hatton fan. I'm really glad that he had a pretty solid week as well, because I know his Ryder Cup record previously hadn't been great. So that was pleasing to see, and I was very pleased for Matt Fitzpatrick as well, because again, he hadn't had the best record at the Ryder Cup. No. So yeah, you know, for a few of these guys, they were coming in. I mean, look, Hatton, Fitzpatrick, Lowry, for example, were three guys that didn't really have a great Ryder Cup last time round. So for those guys to come back and do well,
Fitzpatrick, that first match he played with, the match he played with Rory on, it would have been the first
Friday afternoon.
He's just literally started like a train, didn't he? And
yeah.
Loads of birdies, eagle, and got, you know, heavily up in that match. But other than that, I think he'll be fairly disappointed with how he played the rest of the time. That was the only point he won. Mm. To lose the Saturday afternoon and lose his singles, I mean, he won't be pretty happy with that. And, you know, he played Max Homer. And to be honest, in their match, whilst Homer was their best player, neither of them played particularly fantastic golf yesterday, to be honest.
No, but do you know what? Again, I think Fitzpatrick is going up against probably their best player.
He was, absolutely. Max Homer was their best player.
Yeah.
You know, statistically as well. You know, he won 3.5 points. So, yeah, he was. But
yeah.
I think if you look at the kind of scores they were shooting in that match, I don't think that Homer might have been 1 under, something like that. I don't think he was particularly fantastic. Whereas you look at Rory's and Scheffler's and Rahm's of this world, they were like 6 and 7 under in their match, weren't they, to get halves and win 1 up or 2 up or whatever. But yeah, I mean, Fitzpatrick will be disappointed with that. He had a lot of chances that he didn't hold, but still, I mean, he still contributed fantastically. Everyone has, you know, everyone to have scored something is wonderful, isn't it? And you know, we've just mentioned Rory, Hovland, Hatton, Rahm, Fleetwood, really, that they were the kind of guys that led it again, just like, you know, they have done in previous ones. I mean, you know, look at the team now, who would you swap out of there and put in for the next time? You know, it's
difficult. I was just gonna touch on Matt Fitzpatrick. I know he's saying that he did birdie 5 holes in a row, right, in his match with Rory on Friday, when they went 6 up through 7. Yes. So he was 6 under through a 5-hole stretch.
Yeah, exactly.
As those guys went, what were they? 7 up, 6 up through 7,
yeah,
on Morikawa and Schauffele.
And then I think Rory birded the hole after.
He did. Yeah. He birded the 7th. So look, you can pick out. Performances by everyone, which I think is good. I do like that. So you're asking me who potentially? I don't think
2 years down the line, I think the spine of the team is going to stay the same. I think you've got Rory, Hovland, Hatton, Rahm, Fleetwood,
yes,
are going to be there. Right?
So I'm not convinced Justin Rose plays again.
No, maybe not. I think
Hoberg
is probably top 5 in the world when we're having this conversation. I would say we'll be there.
Yeah, yeah. I then look at players like McIntyre. So I think you can almost put them in tiers. And I think, like you say, the spine is there in those 5: Hatton, Rahm, Hovland, McIlroy, Fleetwood, probably Fitzpatrick. So I think I think
Matt Fitzpatrick, and I think potentially Alex could be at that spot by then.
Yeah, so I'm saying, so you look at those 6 as probably players that are more than likely going to be there in 2 years' time. I think the Højgaards, the pair of them,
yeah.
So that's all of a sudden, that's 7, so that's 8. And then you're looking at 4, I think, from that pool of your Shane Lowry's, your Sepp Strackers, I think Oberg will be there. So then all of a sudden you've only got 3. At that point, obviously, you're going to take players that are playing well, playing in form, and I think potentially they're your guys, your Strackers, your Lowry's, possibly the Højgaards. You just don't know, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's a lot can happen in 2 years as well.
Of course it can. I mean, if we look at the team that was there at Whistling Straits, you know what I mean? It was Rahm, Fleetwood, Hatton, Rory, Hovland, Fitzpatrick, Lowry. Do you know what I mean? They were all in the team and we got absolutely battered. So it's a tough one, really. I mean,
Not everyone.
Luckily, all these guys have just come into form and started playing nicely beforehand as well. But like I say, I still think the likes of, I think DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson are big misses for them. They're just such good players. Tony Finau, great player. You know, Patrick Reed, arguably. Can you imagine how much he would have annoyed most of the Europeans if he was playing? I mean, him and Cantley put them together and they would have literally been like, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I think you've got to look at the pairings, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yes. You know, the golf in 2 years' time is going to be a very different picture as well. We're going to see some of these guys who have almost been forgotten about because of the whole LIV debacle. That's going to have sorted itself out within that time. So are we going to see some of these guys coming back into the fold again? Are we going to see, the likes of DJ playing in a Ryder Cup again? I don't know. I'd like to see it personally because I want to see the best players, and I believe he is one still. So.
Yeah, I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced by DJ anymore. I think they've got enough strength and depth. He could have picked. He could have picked players in form like Lucas Glover. Keegan Bradley, for example. You know, and it's easy for us to sit here and say, Sam Burns weren't in form, for example. But
won twice this year. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, they've got a bigger pool to pick from as well.
Well, they have. But saying that, I can't think of 11 American golfers better than DJ. I can't.
I definitely can't think of
11 better than Bryson, who's just won again, by the way, last week.
Yeah, the problem that I have is I don't know, you know, like, and I suppose if what Zach Johnson is saying is what he's saying, I don't know what DJ's doing. I don't know if he's playing well. I'm well aware that Bryson's had won a couple of events in the run up. Obviously, Brooks gets him because of, you know, winning a major this year. But I don't know personally, other than maybe Bryson, is there many that were playing on LIV that you could look at and think, you know what, there's a real strong case?
Well, I mean, I just think if you've just got to look at the results and the scores these guys are shooting, do you know what I mean? They're still shooting decent numbers. Patrick Reed is another one. He's been very consistent. DJ has, Bryson has. Taylor Gooch at the start of the year won both two events in a row, and do you know what I mean? They're not small events either. Do you know what I mean? There's lots and lots of money on the line. Yes, they're restricted fields. I get that, and the 54 holes, but still, there's argument there, and particularly when you know they've just taken an absolute hammering like this, they've got to have a bit of a root and branch look at the selection process, haven't they? And you know why it's all gone wrong. Is it a team element, or are they just not picking the best players?
I mean, look, whatever he done, and it's the same both sides. Whatever team people pick is you're going to have somebody that can sit and have an argument or a debate about this player should have gone instead of that player. And you know, you look at someone like Ricky Fowler, for example, who unfortunately was the only player not even to pick up half a point. I do believe he was struggling with illness, for example.
And the fact that he can't hold a putt as well.
Yeah, but, you know, like he wasn't somebody that we were sitting here discussing beforehand saying he shouldn't have been there.
Oh, not at all, no. But then you look at Schauffele, Spieth, Scheffler, Burns, Morikawa. Yes, I know the Americans didn't get many points, but they only got 1 point each, which for them, particularly Scheffler, is just not good enough, is it? I mean,
that's like... I mean, I'm not sure that's a fair way, you know, seeing it going, oh, you know, that's not good enough. So, you know, like, that's golf though, right? I mean, you can't, you know, they can't win every game. And, you know, the same both sides for Europe, you know, no one, very rarely does anybody go in and win 5 out of 5, for example. very rarely do people go in and win 4 out of 4. It's a very difficult thing to do. And, you know, yes, I mean, look, the winning margin wasn't as big for Europe this time as what it was for USA last time.
DJ won 5 points out of 5 last time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Because at the time, he was probably playing really good golf. You know, and maybe the course setup is good for those guys over there. But like we say, a lot can change in 2 years. You know, I'm not sitting here thinking if DJ was in that team, is the outcome different? I don't think it is. You know, I think Europeans played really, really well. I think some of the American players weren't playing their absolute best,
well, but they were still playing, so that's why. But yeah, I mean, last time when they came to Paris, that I think the FedEx Cup only finished the week before or 2 weeks before or something. And then this time they're whinging because they had too big a break between the FedEx Cup and the Ryder Cup. I mean, I don't know when they're going to get it right or stop. I mean, I've not heard any excuses from the American team, but this is what I've heard coming out of some of the media that you've seen since. They love to stir the pot.
Well, and look, unfortunately as well.
Paul Cantlay debacle and utter rubbish.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is the other thing. You can't take for gospel everything that comes out of golf media. I mean, look, what I would say is I think Zach Johnson done a really good job in the way that he carried himself after the event and, you know, not looking for excuses. You know, I know in the past when USA have lost, there's been, you know, kind of bullets fired at each other in press conferences and stuff. But, you know, I think it was all handled pretty well by the team this time.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at the press conference their team did afterwards, that no one was downbeat, no one was angry, no one, you know, they all just realised they got beaten by the better team. Do you know what I mean? And that was it. And I don't think anyone blames Zach Johnson at all. I mean, I think some of the prep could have been better, which, you know, some of that has to fall to him. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's dealing with 12, well, let's face it, kind of prima donnas and kind of has to kind of go with what they want to do as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you can't force
less egos in the European team, where if Luke Donald says, I want all 12 of you to go to Marco Simone in 3 weeks' time, they'll all go. And because they don't want to be the one that says no to their set.
No, and look, you know, I do think they all went. They probably all played the Italian Open. They was all at Wentworth together. So they would have been spending a lot of time together in the run-up, whereas, you know, teams, they probably didn't. I mean, look, we can sit here and we could, you know, say this decision. You know, like, I thought it was absolutely crazy for him to leave. I know that Scotty Scheffler got absolutely hammered on the Saturday morning. But I thought it was a crazy decision not to send out the world number one on Saturday afternoon.
Well, and Koepka, I thought, because I thought in four ball, they would probably win more than they lost.
Mm. Yeah. But then at the same time, you wouldn't have, you are probably, after seeing what they did Saturday morning to Scheffler and Koepka, you wouldn't have had Hovland and Oberg down to lose 4-3 to Sam Burns and Colin Morikawa.
No, I mean, that must be, you know, I don't know if there are stats that back this up in the Ryder Cup, but that must be the worst to the best or best to worst result that there's ever been in a Ryder Cup from morning to afternoon for the same pair, surely.
Yeah, you would have thought so. you absolutely would have thought so. But that was good. It was. I would say it was a great, great 3 days. I loved every second of it. I pretty much, I actually missed I missed probably 3/4 of the Friday afternoon session. I was at my sister's wedding. But I was keeping a track of it on the phone through the app.
Of course you were.
Of course I was. But other than that, I watched pretty much every single shot.
I mean, I was at work for Friday and Saturday, but it was on in the shop. Despite them trying to put the Leeds United game on Saturday lunchtime when it kicked off, to which I walked back in the clubhouse and turned it back over again. But hey, Leeds got beat 3-1 anyway, so no one cares. But yeah, well, we look ahead to this week, so we've got, you know, the event still.
Just quickly, right? One last question to put to you on the Ryder Cup, right?
Yeah.
If you was to pick a winner now for 2 years' time, what are you saying?
USA.
Do you think?
Yep.
I think Europe go and do it this time.
Yeah, I hope they do.
Yeah, I do, because I just think they'll be stronger. And also, I was asked for my score predictions on Thursday by Kieran, who does the socials at Goal Shake, and I predicted 16.5 to 11.5.
Did you put any money on it?
No, of course not.
Not bothered.
I am waiting to find out what it is I've won.
Really?
Yeah, probably nothing.
No, probably.
This week, what a great event to run into, by the way.
Amazing event. I love this event. It's one I've worked at throughout uni. So I've been to three Dunhill Links. I've actually been to four because I went to one a few years ago. But yeah, I mean, amazing event. We're going to see some of the victorious Ryder Cup team there. So Fitzpatrick's going to be there. Fleetwood's going to be there. Bobby Mack's going to be there. So plenty of good golf to be watched. Obviously, this takes place over three golf courses in King's Barnes, the old course of St Andrews, and the fabulous Carnoustie, and is a pro-am format. So, you know, the pros play with one amateur, and basically the top, however many teams, I think it's 30 teams, make it through to the final day at St Andrews. So you play once at each of the courses over the first 3 days, and the final day is on the old course at St Andrews. And obviously you've got your top 70 pros that make the cut doing the same as well. So, yeah, always a fantastic tournament. You know, it's at the home of golf. You see some of King's Barnes, which again is a stunning golf course, and Carnoustie, which is right up there with the best of them as well. So, yeah, we should be treated to a hell of a few days of golf again, just as we've recovered from this last weekend. But yeah, I mean, this is a pretty strong field with the likes of Torbjörn Olesen, who's a previous winner there, playing. Adrian Maronk is there. Rasmus Højgaard is there. Victor Perez is there. So plenty of very, very good players teeing up at the home of golf. So yeah, it'll be one that certainly I'll be watching. Vice-captain Thomas Bjorn is there. Padraig Harrington, just going down the list here. Connor Syme, who's playing great. Scotsman as well, so he's probably someone who's going to be quite good at links golf. Yeah, it just looks like a really good field. And yeah, if you want to see some of those Ryder Cup players, you can get up there and do that as well.
Would be pretty cool. I'd love to be up there.
Yeah, me too.
I really would. It's one of the best places in the world. It is the best place in the world.
I love it. Yeah, it's
yep. Like, I do.
It's a magical place. It's like golf in Hogwarts. It's absolutely.
Yeah. Do you know? I'm now having an argument with someone on text message. By the way.
All right. While you're doing the podcast.
Yeah. Ooh, because it's
unbelievable.
This is live. Why is Luke Donald being punted as captain again when he didn't win as well as the last time captain? Everyone knows you win at home and lose in the USA, don't they? Bugs me, this kind of stuff. I'm like, I couldn't think of a better choice than having Luke Donald as captain again. By the way, going into Beth Page in a couple
of years. Again, yeah. I can't think of anyone that you'd put in there instead at the minute.
No.
Yeah, do it.
He said he'd give it to Thomas Bjorn, who performed a lot better.
Again.
Yeah.
I think Luke's good, to be honest, and he's still quite good. So,
and also, you know, what was interesting is actually what Thomas Bjorn was saying was this is the best side and the best run side that he's been a part of.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just gonna let him know that I've read his text out and thank him for the podcast fodder.
Yeah, and tell him to get back in his box. Yeah. Right. I mean, aside from the Dunhill Links, have you got any news of? What have you been doing golf-wise in the last week, mate? I know we've had obviously lots of professional golf going on. Do we sort of talk about the Pinder Trophy yet? I mean, our weekly little kind of segment that we go on the Pinder Trophy and your mate Matt Lockwood. I mean,
so I think it's safe to say that we can.
Was the Ryder Cup inspiring him to play in some of his best stuff and qualify?
No, so we didn't have any competitions this weekend. We certainly didn't. We certainly didn't play well enough in the midweek last week. And I'll be honest, the Pinder is actually this Sunday.
Oh.
So his qualification chance has probably come and gone.
Oh, no.
I don't think there's a midweek competition this week. And I'm not.
Year.
Yeah, I'm not convinced. I don't know if whoever wins, I don't know if there's a comp on Saturday that could get you a late entry into the Pinder, but I think
is
we have this
conversation. For you?
I've asked him if he's free, and it was quite funny because we had an email sent round with a list of the people that have qualified for the Pinder Trophy. Technically, I've qualified twice, as of some people.
Does that mean you get to have two goes?
No. I actually, after all this, I'll be honest. It's not a format. It's a bogey. It's a bogey comp. And I'll be honest. I don't think it's a format that bodes well for lower handicappers. I think it's a format that is going to fall into. I think anyone between kind of 8 and 12, 13 is going to win that.
Play it the same as every other comp you play.
Well, yeah, that would be my approach. But I just think, for me to beat the course as we kind of head towards the winter months, it's going to be a tough ask. Whereas I think there's just, you know, you've got somebody that knows how to play golf that has got a few more shots. It's just one of them ones, you know. If it's a different format, maybe you're having a look at it and think, yeah, I've got half a chance, but. After all this chit chat about qualifying, I'm not convinced. But 88 people have qualified. Not all 88 people will enter because it's not a drawn thing. It's just, you know, booking on Sunday and whoever you play with can sign your card. So,
okay, cool.
So that's what I've got. I'm debating. I tried to get out this afternoon and play a few. I've already transitioned into hitting balls at the range.
All right. Okay.
Which is
be some absolutely monumental news for the podcast, but
no, I just I generally from kind of March to September, you probably find I might go to a driving range like no more than 10 times, and I've probably been to the driving range four times in the last week.
I was worried what you transitioned into, but you've transitioned into a range golfer. Is that what
you're saying? Yeah. Just, you know, it happens. You know, like this afternoon, for example, I wanted to get out and play a few holes. I got up to the golf course, massive thunderstorm, waited for that to clear, managed to get out, played four holes, puddles on the greens from all the rain that, we literally like this mega thunderstorm. So now I'm feeling unfulfilled, and I was planning to have a run in the morning, but I'm now thinking, do I get up and play golf at 6:40, 6:50 tomorrow morning before I go to work?
It's dark.
No, the sun rises at 7, so it'll be all right because the weather.
So you can't tee off at 6:40.
Yeah, you can because it's not dark.
6:55 is our first tee time on a Saturday at the minute, and it's dark. Let me tell you.
We're further south.
I suppose.
You can definitely. I mean, like it's going to be if it's a sunny day. You can definitely get away with teeing off at maybe 1:45. Wow. I don't know. I look at this week, and actually, we've got Saturday, Sunday is going to be 24 degrees.
Ah, beautiful.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Suffolk. Yeah. In fact, I'm looking at the weather. I just got unlucky today. Every other day this week is going to be pushing 20 degrees and sunny. So I might get up and play. I might get up and play in the morning just so that I can say that I've played. And then next week the winter four balls start. All happens. It just happens so quick, really, I find.
This kind of time of the, it's almost like someone takes the batteries out of this time of year, isn't it? You'll get one really bad week of weather, and that'll just completely make the course soak in for the next 5 months. So yeah, it's not ideal. But yeah, I mean, we've got some nice temperatures over the weekend, 20, 22 Saturday, 22 Sunday. So it's going to be quite nice. Hoping we can get out and play a few holes. I mean, I've played a little bit in the last week. I had a pro-am on Friday over at Woodsum Hall in Huddersfield, which was very nice. It was good. Team did well, came third. I did okay myself, won a little bit of money, so I came fifth. which was nice. So
50p back.
No, it was decent actually. The money was all right. So yeah, not too bad at all. But yeah, certainly made the day pay for itself. So that was good. Didn't play particularly fantastic. It was pretty boring. I shot one over and didn't really do anything good and didn't do anything bad. So it was kind of pretty boring, really. And then played today and played quite nicely. So, yeah, it was a bit proper score, yeah.
Nice.
But, yeah, that'll probably be the extent of my golf now for a while. So we'll see. I've got nothing really to play in. So.
Yeah. I suppose we have some nice winter stuff down here because we've got not only are we – you know, not only am I personally by the coast, but because we've got a lot of heathland, we're not short of. So like there's a two day event at the moment for the pros down here at Felixstowe and Woodbridge, I think. So you've got like links and a heathland, and it'll just be perfect. I mean, tomorrow it will be absolutely perfect out there for them tomorrow. Kind of jealous in a way. Yeah, you'd have to come down. You have to come get yourself down to Costa del East Anglia and get some dry golf.
It's just too far away, Matt. It's a long time.
It's not really. Why? If you were a pro and you could, why would you not play this week in the event? By the way, thinking down. Yeah.
Well, oh my God, you'd be there all the time. I'm surprised Rory's not playing because he normally plays with his dad.
Dad, yeah.
Yeah, to be honest, I'd have thought all of the Ryder Cup team would go.
But yeah, I was just looking down. I thought
Donald Arnberg might have been there. To be honest, but yeah, it's
Is Hatton in the field? Because he's got a good. He won it back to back, didn't he?
Yeah, I can't see him. No.
Well, it'd be good opportunity for someone to do well. I love it.
Should be a good event. I love watching any golf from St Andrews, to be honest, but you're going to see people going from, you know, sweating buckets in Rome to wearing bobble hats and waterproofs in St Andrews, probably. Well, yeah. Let's get the temperatures that we're forecast to get over the weekend. You never know, so it could let's be quite nice.
I just checked the forecast. Oh, yeah, no, Thursday, Friday looks ming. Saturday's sunny, but Sunday should be all right. A bit chilly in the morning.
Last time I went up there, they cut the last day to – they did like a really early start to try and get everyone – I think they did a shotgun actually to try and get everyone round before this huge storm came in on the Sunday afternoon. And they just managed to get it all done by about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I think it was. It was pretty awful. But yeah, I mean, it's a great event and one that I'll definitely be watching a bit of, particularly as Marcus needs a very, very good week to try and keep his card, and fingers crossed he does it before the end of the season. But yeah, it's always good value and good watching at St Andrews. Matt, that's about all we've got time for. The Ryder Cup, we could literally talk for hours on the Ryder Cup, but safe to say it was a fantastic one. Can't wait for 2 years' time when we head over to the US and see if we can deal with the hostile New York crowds at Bethpage Black and keep hold of the trophy and bring it back home again. I hope that we can. But yeah, until next time, we'll see you all very, very soon.
Enjoy. Goodbye.